Well, it's got a great history, this theatre. I mean, like you say, it is the oldest continuously working theatre, which is why it's sort of so popular. Can you tell me, obviously I mentioned Ian McKellen, you've mentioned Jeremy Irons, any other famous, because quite a few have come from the theatre school, haven't they?
Well, they have. Well, I mean, at the end of the 1930s, early 1940s, the Theatre Royal in King Street, as a theatre, was in serious problems. It was next door to the Cooper's Hall. Other theatres had come around and financially had problems. So, a plan was put in that the theatre was no longer required. They were going to rip it all out to make it into an annex to make it for the Cooper's Hall to store more fruit and veg. Well, luckily for us, in that year, I mean, there was a great entertainer at that time because in those days, the Theatre Royal Bristol was referred to by some Bristolians, even today, as the Old Gaff. It was a nickname given to the theatre in that period of time because it was like a variety house. They had all sorts. There was a great entertainer called Randolph Sutton who came from Bridgewater, and he was based here at the Theatre Royal in King Street, and also at another theatre in Bristol called the Empire Theatre, which used to exist in Old Market. And as an entertainer, he basically put on traditional pantomimes and kept this theatre going. But financially, it was in serious problems, and a plan was put in by the local authorities to convert the theatre into an extension to the Cooper's Hall. Well, luckily for us, CEMA, which stands for the Creative Entertainment for the Ministry of Arts, came into the building. And CEMA today, you would know, is the Arts Council of Great Britain. And they wanted to set up the first independent state theatre company. So they basically got into the theatre. They saw this beautiful theatre and thought, we can't let this close. And at that time, Bristol did have a small working theatre company called the Rapier Players. Now, the Rapier Players were based at the Little Theatre, which used to exist, it used to be part of the Colston Hall complex in Colston Street. And they were there for many, many years, but Bristol never had its own major rep, and CEMA wanted to set up the very first independent state theatre company, so they thought Bristol would be a good place to do this. So they had connections in London with the London Old Vic Theatre Company. So they approached the London Old Vic. The London Old Vic today still exists as a theatre, but what was the company in those days disbanded but came together to become the National Theatre of this country, National Theatre of Great Britain. And of course, at that time, the London Old Vic was very highly regarded. Ralph Richardson, Laurence Olivier, they all played there and had a tremendous success. So CEMA approached the London Old Vic with this wonderful idea, a wonderful challenge to help set up a brand new theatre company, but not have it based in London. So they said having a sister company in another city would be a fantastic challenge. So they said yes, they would like to do that. So they then came to Bristol and they thought, well, Bristol's not too far from London. Yes, we can set something up here. So on the 19th of February 1946, a brand new company was set up in King Street in Bristol's own Theatre Royal in those days. And of course, it was kind of called the Bristol Old Vic, which was an offshoot of the London Old Vic. And the gentleman who led that company was a wonderful gentleman called Hugh Hunt. He was the first artistic director. And he came with a company of actors, people like William Devlin, Pamela Brown, Cyril Cusack, Wendy Hillier, Rosalie Crutchley, Margaretta Scott, and a young unknown actor called Kenneth Connor. You would know Kenneth Connor from the Carry On films. He was one of the Carry On team for many, many years. But he was a young, unknown actor. But he came to Bristol and they became part of this company. And in those days, it was a repertory company. So those actors, not like today, were contracted for 6 months' work. So when the Bristol Vic was set up in 1946, you had the chance to buy a season ticket. So you could come and see all the six plays performing in those 6 months during that season. So you would then see the same actors. So as they were playing one play for 4 weeks during the daytime, they wouldn't be their day off like they have today. They would be in rehearsals getting ready to start the next play 4 weeks later. And they did all sorts. They helped with wardrobe, costumes, scenery. They did everything and they really grafted. That's how a lot of the great actors that we admire today started through the glory days of rep. And that was set up here in 1946. But Laurence Olivier came down from London. I was so thrilled to hear of this brand new theatre company. He thought, well, Bristol hasn't got a theatre school, why can't we set up a theatre school for young actors to be trained? And in the same year, 61 years ago, in 1946, in Baldwin Street, just round the corner, wait for it, another very strange connection, right above a fruit shop. Because next door to us, fruit in here and then over there, that's where the Bristol Vic Theatre School was created in 1946 and was based there in Baldwin Street until 1954. Because in 1954, when Dennis Carey was the artistic director, He basically put on a wonderful show. Well, they had a season. The Crucible by Arthur Miller was first seen in 1954 in this theatre through the Bristol Theatre. I mean, as a company, Dennis Kerry, as an artistic director, was absolutely fantastic because he was very much on the pulse. He recognised brand new plays, and that means that play is a classic today in theatre. And that was first performed here. And I'll tell you who played the part of Mary Warren was a young unknown actress called Annette Crosby, who you would know today as Mrs. Victor Meldrew in One Foot in the Grave. She was the very first Mary Warren. That was here in 1954. But at the end of that season, I believe they lost the rights to a show. So they had two talents within the rep company, two great musical talents, a gentleman called Julian Slade and a lady called Dorothy Reynolds. And they had relatively successful shows, a musical about a singing cow called Hooray for Daisy, and another show which they did, which is called Free as Air. But then at the end of this season, they lost the rights to a show, and this show was basically put together quite quickly. And Dorothy and Julian had songs in their repertoire. So they put all these songs together about two university students graduating, and that show became Salad Days, which a lot of Bristolians fondly remember. And that show was very, very successful. It transferred to London and made an awful lot of money. And as a thank you to Bristol and to the theatre school, which Julian Slade was connected with, they decided to give a percentage of the profits to the theatre school so they could then buy the premises where they're now based at the top of Pembroke Road in Clifton. So in the last 61 years, through the Bristol Vic Company and through that theatre school, people like Patrick Stewart, Brian Blessed, Jeremy Irons, Daniel Day-Lewis, Peter O'Toole, Miranda Richardson, Trudy Steiner, Jenny Seagrove, Tim Pickett-Smith, Stephanie Cole. I can stand here all day and name drop. It's incredible the wealth of talent that has gone through that theatre school. That, you know, people that we now watch in film and television, they started their careers here, and a lot of people have a lot of fond memories. In fact, this morning I actually had a card in the post from Sophie Thompson. Sophie Thompson is Emma Thompson's sister, whose father was Eric Thompson, and mother Phyllida Law. Now, you wouldn't know Sophie today if you watched EastEnders. She plays Stella. And I remember Sophie. She started here in 1983, when I started here 24 years ago. And as an actress, she's had an incredible career. And I think she's really too good to be in EastEnders, and she's doing a good job. But she was an amazing actress, and she just wrote in a letter to the theatre archivist. And of course, that came to me as I look after all the archives. So I wrote back saying that I was still here, and I sent exactly what she wanted. She wanted a little gift for an actor called Michael Simpkins. And it was a programme from their very first show, which was The Beau Strategon, which ironically was the very first show that was performed in the theatre when it originally opened, you know, 241 years ago. So I sent her a spare copy of the programme, and I had a little thank you note from her this morning. So it's lovely. You know, even after all this time, you can still keep in contact with these actors. They do come and come and go back. We've got John Lloyd Finningham here this week, arriving in the Caucasian Short Circuit. He was here a few years ago. Last show he was in here was A Christmas Carol, which was directed by our former artistic director, Andy Hay. So it has been the main starting ground for a lot of famous people.
I mean, because it's still going today, so the future TV stars and movie stars could
absolutely
well be.
Absolutely. I mean, when you come here, it's lovely because the theatre school come in here twice, if not two or three times a year. And in the month of June, they do a summer showcase. So it's your chance to see the stars of tomorrow. I mean, in the time I've been here in the theatre school, a lot of famous people's offsprings I've come across. John Pertwee's son and daughter, Sean and Daryl, did their training here. Richard Bryars' daughter, Lucy Bryars, she trained here. Also, Harry Secombe's daughter, Katie, it was an absolute joy, she trained here, and various other people. But I'm just trying to think, in recent years, someone who's gone on to great, I mean, there's one chap whose name escapes me, but I remember him so well. And I had a very big shock because it's a chap, very good looking chap, quite Egyptian looking when he was here. And of course, he graduated and I didn't see anything of him, but I went to see the film The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. And of course, he played the third main part in that. So to see somebody you remember as a student then on the big screen, it's quite a shock sometimes. But it's good to see them move on because you obviously got good memories. Yeah.